Blog Talk Radio.
This the place to come where we all can address the issue. Debating different topics, bring friends and family with you. You can say what you want, speak whatever you feel. When Lizzie, Nay, and Tay in the building,
it's what?
It's real.
Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 gals and gents. This is Les Thompson, and you are now listening to It's Real Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. You can chime in on the discussion. You're probably listening now, so you could be chiming in now. All you have to do is press 1. So what you want to do is dial 347-838-9540, and then press 1, and you can join in on the conversation. And when we bring you on, we'll announce you by your area code. So if you're calling from the 305 where I'm at, what, 305? You dial 347-838-9540, press 1, and we'll say, hey, 305. Hey, Mr. 305, come on in and join the conversation. All right, so I am here with one of our founders and hosts, Nizzy May. How are you doing tonight, Ms. Lady?
I'm good. Glad to be home.
Oh, home is good. You're up there, up in the DMV, aren't you? Like, aren't you up in like Maryland?
Yeah.
How's the weather up there?
Cold. Very, very cold.
Oh, have you been hit by any snow?
Yes, we got like a little bit of probably like a half inch of snow like last week. It was gone within an amount of hours. Like 3 hours later, there was no snow left on the ground. So, and they're talking about getting more. Who knows? Because we're supposed to get down to 15 to 10 degrees this weekend. So.
Oh, no. No. No, thank you. the whole northern part, at least the whole northern, northeastern part of the United States is about to get pummeled with a huge cold front. So I know that all the way from the DMV, all the way from, like, the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area, pushing all the way over to, like, I think even to Minnesota, it's going to be really, really unseasonably cold and wintry already. Well, I guess it is December, so I guess that should be expected, that you're getting some snow.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, last year around this time, it was still 70 degrees on Christmas Day. So
very true. I think that we've been spoiled. As much as some folks, like our president-elect, would like to say that global warming is not real and climate change is not real, that was really freakish last year to have a 70-degree Christmas Day for the northern part of the U.S. I'm down here in Florida, and I remember thinking most people try to come down south, down to Miami to enjoy the warm weather. There's no point this year because it's so warm up north. They could just stay home, open gifts, and go take a walk on the beach or something. It's pretty warm up there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I shouldn't complain because down here we've had a bit of a cool front ourselves. Down here it's been, well, let's see. Yesterday I woke up, it was a brisk 70 degrees. I was like, ooh, let me get my sweater.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is, no, let's see, wait, because I woke up, it was about 70, and they said, oh, by evening, by 6 p.m., it will dip down to 69. I was like, oh, no, we can't have that. Let me, where is my shawl? Like an old lady getting cold. Ooh, that's going to be nippy tonight. That's a mess. I grew up in Northeast Ohio, so 69 degrees in December would have been like crazy. That would have been like hot. So I'm used to digging out from all the snow. So all those people up in Akron who might be listening, I feel for y'all. Y'all probably listening to this because you have no choice because you're right now sitting under a couple of inches of snow. But since being down here in Florida for the last XYZ years now, my blood is thinned out. So anything below 70, I'm like, ooh, where's the hot chocolate? I need a, get me a hot toddy, please. I'm not gonna ask. Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so the topic tonight is surviving the end of the honeymoon period. Dun, 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 dun. So basically, we'll be discussing the honeymoon stage, which is a term that's basically defined as the point in a relationship, friendship, or partnership, personal or business, where everything seems to be clicking on all cylinders, and it's nothing but smooth sailing and good times. You can do almost no wrong while enrolled in the honeymoon stage, but then what happens once the honeymoon stage wears off and reality completely sinks in? Some people are able to still maintain camaraderie and a good rapport with one another, while others start to get irritated by things they hardly even notice during the honeymoon stage. So that's where the domino effect comes into play. So basically, honeymoon stage, you first meet up with somebody, everything's all good and smooth and wonderful until it all starts going downhill like dominoes. going down, 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 down. So I guess one case, I just have to bring this up. Okay, so, I mean, most people, when they think of a honeymoon effect, like when they're in a love relationship, like relationship, whatever, where you will basically give that other person a lot of leeway because everything's warm and fuzzy, rainbows and butterflies, and you will let stuff pass. Okay, so case in point, this weekend I performed on a comedy show that was during Paradise City Comic Con. So that was in Fort Lauderdale this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if you've never gone to a Comic Con, that's basically if you're a fan of manga or anime or anything like that, people come out with their cosplay, dressing up as different characters, to, show their respect and their love. And then there's people that come out, like celebrities. Oh, Billy Dee Williams was there. Lando Calrissian was there at the Comic-Con. And I was like, Billy Dee looks pretty good for an old dude. But I was like, look at Billy Dee, still looking smooth. But I was so mad because I missed out on the Q&A. They had a panel discussion with Billy Dee for 45 minutes. Billy Dee Williams was answering questions, all questions that you had about Star Wars, about his career, about whatever. He was there, available. All you had to do was stand in line, ask the question, and Billy Dee was going to answer. No big deal, right? And I so was planning on going to go to the panel just so I could, so everybody else, I totally had it imagined in my mind. I was like, okay, people are going to be asking about how was it to be in Star Wars, to be in such an epic film, to be in such a film that was ahead of its time when it came to special effects, and what was it like to work with all those great stars, all of that. And then I was going to be totally in line saying, so remember that scene in The Jeffersons? remember The Jeffersons when Florence, played by Marla Gibbs, was in that one episode and she didn't believe Billy Dee Williams was going to show up, and then you showed up and then you kissed her and you said, "Ciao, Bella," and she went nuts and she got all frozen. How was that moment? I was going to be that person. I was going to be that person. Billy Dee Williams was going to be like, what is up with that girl with these old references? Don't you know this is the Comic-Con? We're not talking about old black sitcoms. You totally had it set up. But the reason why I bring that up is because going to the Comic-Con, most of the people who go to the Comic-Con are single men. Single young men, like teenagers, young men, and there's some older guys too, and they're usually going in packs. And then, of course, there's girls. Girls are starting to really get active in that whole world, and, you know, they're dressed up as, you know, because they're more active in doing video games, and so they want to show their respect and dress up as their favorite video game character. And then you saw these couples. Now, the perfect couples at the Comic-Con, you could tell, they both are totally geeked out. They're both totally into gaming. They might even have matching outfits. Like, I saw somebody that was dressed up as like Jon Snow and that chick from Game of Thrones. They was together. I'm like, oh, look at that.
Oh, my God.
But that's a perfect couple, right? Because they coordinated. They totally coordinated. But then you saw couples and you're like, ooh, I know that she just got dragged here, but she's like, the dude is all into it and looking at the different dudes and trying to figure out, like, what T-shirts to buy. And she's like, okay. No. She just being dragged along. And I'm like, you know what? That is totally what we're going to be talking about on this week's show, because I could tell that couple definitely in the honeymoon stage, because the girl, not into video games, not into anime, not into cosplay, but she will go to the mall, get her a Spider-Man T-shirt, or she'll get a Daddy's Little Helper shirt. She'll dress up like Harley Quinn just to go with the flow, you know? She's not really into it, but she'll do it for her man. So Nizzy May, has there ever been a time where you let yourself go along in a situation just to make the dude happy because you're in the first stages of the relationship, even though it's something you wouldn't have necessarily wanted to do, but you did it anyway?
Oh, yeah. This guy, he loved basketball. And I hate sports. Like, I hated sports. I didn't watch none of it. And I did for him because this is something that we can interact with. This is something that we can be involved in and watch it together, even though I didn't know what the hell was going on. But it made him happy. He wanted to tell me all about it, and then, I don't know, all of a sudden, I actually started to like it. I would watch it with him. I actually started, because I'm open-minded to everything. So for me, I'll try anything once. Anyways, so I was like, let me do it. At least try it. And I ended up really loving it. Like, I would record the game. I had jerseys.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Really involved in it. But I don't know. I mean, it ended up turning out, good. In the beginning, I hated it. I thought it was boring. I would fall asleep. I mean, but eventually, yeah, I think that was the only time where somebody really talked me into getting into something like that they really liked. Personally, you can't really take me into a lot of stuff. I don't give a damn if it's the honeymoon stage or not. If I don't like it, I don't like it. And there's no way of talking me into it.
So when it came to the basketball, though, because he was such an enthusiast, did you flat out tell him, like, ugh, I don't like basketball, and I hate sports,
yeah,
or did you just kind of...
I told him I don't like sports, but he was like, just come on, just watch it with me, you know, I'll teach you all about it. And eventually, as we started watching more and more together, I just got into it. Like, I was really into it. I could not miss a game at all. So
you became a convert. He converted you.
Yeah, I did. I really, really did.
So, you know, well, I have to commend him as well, because a lot of guys, if their girl says, oh, I totally hate this, they'll just give up on it, especially if it's sports related or something that's, quote, traditionally male, you know? So if it's like sports or if it's like, you know, I know. I guess a lot of it is sports related. I mean, unless a guy is really big on fixing cars or, I don't know, woodworking or something. And usually they're so used to women telling them, oh, I don't like this or that's not my thing. They'll just let it go. But I guess he didn't. He had hope for you. He was going to make you like it whether you liked it or not.
He went and let it go. He was very persistent, so it wasn't like I could just say no. He kept asking me, so finally I just did it. Just get over it, communicate with you. Because that was something he loved, and we really didn't have a lot of things in common. So I guess he wanted at least one thing that we can have something in common with and do something together that we both like. And that was something that he was so passionate about. So I was like, let me just go ahead and just give it a shot. You never know.
That is just too sweet. That is just too sweet, you know, because a lot of guys would just be like, forget it, we just gonna go out to eat. I was the opposite. I was the opposite with my dude, I thought that I liked football. You know, like, I felt like I had a tolerance for sports because, I had dated different guys before, and I was used to them watching the game. I'm not well-versed in anything. I can't pull out any statistics or anything like that. But, you know, I had dated guys who had played football in high school and college and who had pro football aspirations. So I figured I liked football, you know, because you kind of go with the flow, you know. So with my guy, when we were first dating, I said, well, you know, I like football. He was like, oh, bet. That's cool. I think was our first date. Our second date, you know, I said, oh, I like football, but I like all, you know, I'm cool with all sports. I can do whatever, you know. And I think our second date, we'd actually, he had access to box seats at Madison Square Garden because I used to live in New York. So, you know, seeing the game, I think, I mean, it's different watching the game in person than on TV, because in person it was cool. It was like the atmosphere and the idea, like, ooh, I had never been in the box before. And, you know, we were in the garden and I could see, you know, it was the Knicks. I think it was the Knicks that were playing Houston, I think, at the time. And you saw Spike Lee there on the court. You know, that was an experience. I was like, oh, this is cool. But then we started spending more time together and then started living together. And then that's when I realized this dude likes a lot of sports. Like, it's not just, like, concentrated in just basketball. It was, like, basketball season, and then there was baseball season, and then there was football season, and then for a hot second, when New York had a team, it was hockey. I was like, damn it. I grew up in a household of all women. So it got to the point where, oh, this is, like, it's something about SportsCenter, that music. Again. Like, this doesn't stop, does it? This is nonstop. Does it ever end? Sorry, I was like, yeah, but I didn't know that so much. You know, I thought it would just be like a Sunday thing, a Sunday Monday thing. I didn't know it was like every day, three times a day. And then we only had like, we'll see. We had, like, one good TV in the living room and then the okay TV in the bedroom. But sometimes you don't want to lay down watching TV in the bedroom. You want to watch it on the good TV. But the good TV always had, da-na-na, da-na-na. and he was like, nah, I only cheer for New York teams. And then only certain New York teams because he's from Brooklyn. So that means basketball is the Knicks, baseball is the Mets, football is the Giants, and then at the time, hockey was with the Rangers. And I was like, Jesus. <Da-na-na, da-na-na. laughs> But in the beginning, it was cool because honeymoon stage, we were in the honeymoon stage. So that's when that's so cute, my man, like, and stuff. I'm going to talk. Let me make you some wing dings. You want me to order you a pizza while you're watching the game? That's so cool. I need to make sure. Do you need a cold drink while you're watching the game? until all that. Da-na-na, I mean, Stuart Scott, bless his soul. May he rest in peace. Rest in heaven. It had gotten to the point. Stuart Scott's voice was like, I was like a trigger. It was like, I could feel my face ticking when I hear Stuart Scott starting to talk. I'm like, dang on it. And that's when the domino effect went into play. I was like, I need some time to watch my show sometimes. I'm not going to sit here and listen to sports the entire time. Yeah, so it got a little messy.
I think after about, let me see, about 4 to 5 months, that's when you're really getting adjusted to each other. You've been around each other a lot, and then you start to notice little things. The little things at first is little, and so you let it, you know, shrug off a little bit, but eventually it just starts to irritate the hell out of you. Then here comes the little argument. And then the big argument over, and sometimes it's just little things, but it's little things that you thought were cute in the beginning, and now it's just plain out annoying.
Exactly. Because one of the things we had mentioned about the domino effect, well, two things. One, since we're still on the sports day, like sports is a great example of the honeymoon stage. When Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant were teammates, they seem to be the best of friends. But now that Kevin Durant has left Westbrook and his Thunder brethren to join Steph Curry and the flashy Golden State Warriors, the relationship has seemed to diminish right in the face of the public. And then you have Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. That's another example of the honeymoon stage converted over to the domino effect. Oh, and also, too, if you're listening and just joining in, it's Real Talk Radio. We're talking about the honeymoon stage. So basically where a relationship goes from smooth to sour, and you can join in on the conversation. Remember, when you're dialing in 347 888-638-9540. Press 1, and you can join in on the conversation. Yeah, so my thought, when you're what you were saying about how little things are cute in the beginning, and then it builds up to argument that could lead to something going downhill. The example we just had, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, I wonder about that situation, because in the beginning it was like, you know, Angelina Jolie was like this kind of like mysterious actress, kind of had some odd, quirky behavior with her first husband, Billy Bob Thornton. I think Billy Bob was her second husband, I think. And then you got Brad Pitt, who's all like, he's all hot, his career's on fire. You know, he used to be with Jennifer Aniston, and now he's with Angelina Jolie. I wonder whose idea was it to first adopt. Because they adopted, I think now between their own kids and their adopted kids, I think they have something like 7 or 8 kids. So I wonder, in the beginning, was it like, whose idea was it to adopt the first one?
I think it was Angelina's. I think that Brad Pitt really wasn't, because most of the time it's a man that really doesn't want kids. So he probably was just like, I don't want really no kids. And she said, well, instead of us making a child, well, maybe we'll make one child and then we'll just adopt the rest. And she probably just convinced him to do it. But it just got overboard. She just went a little overboard with it.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with adopting kids. I think it's a beautiful thing, but goddamn, 7 to 8, you know? Damn. I know they got money.
Yeah, because I have just one myself, but yeah, the idea of like multiplying that by 8 is just like intense to me. I wonder if it's like with them, it's like adopting kids. That's like all the time and the money and the effort. I wonder if it's like, okay, like if you were dating a person and living together, and at first you're like, oh, look, honey, I brought home, like, there's this stray cat that's always hanging out by the door and I'm feeding it. I wonder if I could bring him inside. And you're like, oh, and the dude is like, okay, you could do that. And then that first cat turns into a second cat, into a third cat, and a fourth cat. I know I'm going to be yelled at for this, but I got a homegirl that ended up in that situation. I'm like, why is homegirl turning into the cat lady? God bless her. Like, the whole idea was originally, like, down here in Miami, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like Latin culture, Caribbean culture, what the deal is. People, or Southern culture, people, a lot of people are very, very, very superstitious. So if they see a black cat, they will not want it. So
yeah.
I think the story, yeah, they will not want it at all, you know. So this poor cat, it didn't mean to be born black. So my homegirl was, well, I think how it started was like she saw this little kitten, like the neighbor's cat had a bunch of kittens, or there was like a neighborhood cat that didn't really belong to anyone. It had a bunch of kittens. Then there was this one little straggly black cat that no one wanted. So she would feed it. She would feed it, and then she took it in. And then somebody else had a black cat, was like, oh, I don't want this black cat. And she was like, oh, you got to be humane. You shouldn't, like, let them, like, starve just because you don't like black cats. So it her house started becoming the drop-off point for black cats. And originally, the idea was that she was just going to hold on to these cats and then try to find them good homes. Nobody wanted these little black kittens. And she tried to turn them over to a shelter. And the shelter basically told her, like, look, we're going to be up front with you. Black cats are extremely hard for us to adopt out. So there's an excellent chance these cats might not survive by the end of this month, because it's a kill shelter, you know, because most of the places, the private little foster cat places, that was like, I guess it was like symbolic of America. They don't want your black babies. Don't be getting your black kids over here. And I was like, damn, I can't just turn these cats in the street. And the next day I go to this girl's house, this girl like got 8 black cats running around. Like, when is this going to stop? Like, I can't turn them into the street. I was like, yes, you can. You need to like find some of these kittens some homes or something, or get them fixed or something. So I said, her dude's cool with it. He's grumpy cat about everything else, but something about these little black cats, I think they pulled on his heartstrings. But I just have a feeling one day it's going to be like, he's going to snap and be like, I said 8 cats was enough. Like Angelina, I said 8 kids is enough. I can't take it no more. Be like, I don't want to see my homegirl on the news. That there was, she going to end up on something crazy because she keeps fostering all these black cats. That's probably how it starts. Like, being a cat lady. That's how it starts. I got a favor. I should have an intervention. That's what I should do. I'm going to go over to her house on Christmas and see what the deal is. Say, this has to stop. No, but then those little cats look at you with their little faces, and you're like, oh, oh, poor little black cat. Oh. Anyway. I know we're talking about the honeymoon thing, but I just saw this as I guess this is kind of sort of breaking news. Alan Thicke, Robin Thicke's father, Alan Thicke, according to TMZ, Alan Thicke passed away today. He died today.
Yeah, I just seen that. Yeah, I just seen that. Wow.
That is crazy. So basically, according to TMZ.com, Alan Thicke had a heart attack while he was playing hockey with his 19-year-old son, Carter. He was transported to Providence St. Joseph Medical Center around noon today and pronounced dead there. Oh, my goodness. So he survived by his 3 sons, Robin Thicke, Brendan, and Carter, and his wife, Tanya. He was apparently he played hockey regularly at a rink in Burbank, California. And him and his son, Carter, were on the ice around 11 a.m. when he started having chest pain. Then got nauseous and vomited. The ambulance picked him up around 11:30 and took him to the hospital. And apparently that is where he was pronounced dead. That is crazy. Wow. He was only 69 years old. Yeah, he was the Canadian-born actor was most famous for his role as Jason Seaver, the dad on the ABC sitcom Growing Pains. And most recently, he was on the Netflix reboot Fuller House, and had a cameo on the first episode of This Is Us. He hosted game shows, talk shows, and wrote several famous TV theme songs for Different Strokes, Wheel of Fortune, as well as Growing Pains. Only 69 years old. So, yeah, so rest in peace. Rest in peace, Alan Thicke. Prayers going out to the family, the Thicke family, Robin Thicke. And his sons. That's terrible. Absolutely terrible. So young.
It is.
Yeah. And so young. And you know what's it's crazy is that here's a guy that, you know, actor, you know, he's an actor. It's not like he's working in a coal mine somewhere. You know, obviously he's relatively active because he plays hockey. You know, I mean, it doesn't say how often he was playing hockey, but hockey, you got to be on your skates and you're rolling around and stuff. And, yeah, to die of a heart attack, that's got to be traumatic for his son, you know, because a lot of times you don't, yeah, for to have a parent pass away and so close to the holidays, too. I mean, Christmas is right around the corner, So to lose a loved one so close to holidays, that's rough. That's rough.
Mm-hmm.
That's really rough.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. And then especially to be with your father. Like, a lot of times people don't know what the signs of a heart attack are. I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those people, like, I wouldn't know. Unless you're clutching your chest, I wouldn't know. But apparently being nauseous and getting sick is a sign that there may be a massive heart attack happening. So just look out for those signs of that. But, yeah, I'm sick. That's terrible. I mean, did you ever watch Growing Pains, like reruns at, like, Nick at Night or anything like that? Sometimes ABC Family,
I
think, used to have it.
Yeah, I used to.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I watched the show enough, but not so much that it was my favorite. I didn't hate the show. It was one of those shows that, like, you could watch and be like, oh, okay, this is cool. This is, like, you know, nighttime show. It's not going to give you nightmares or anything like that. But he seemed like a pretty cool enough guy, you know? So yeah, that's a shame. That's definitely a shame. But death is always worse for the people who survive, because the main person, I hate to say this, is, like, of course, his youngest son who was with him when he passed away. But then I think about Robin Thicke, because when Robin Thicke first came up on the scene and singing his thing, and, you know, I wasn't a gigantic fan, but I could get down with Robin Thicke. I thought he was a cool dude and stuff. And then there was all that craziness with the Paula Patton, all that, you know, drama that came out. And then I was like, when they had that lawsuit with Marvin Gaye's family and him and Pharrell saying that, I was like, how Blurred Lines was not a Marvin Gaye song. I mean, how that would not have happened, that's crazy. But I've been rerun over because of Real House Husbands of Hollywood, the Kevin Hart show that's on BET.
Mm-hmm.
The first season Robin Thicke was on, and I was like, oh, Robin Thicke is actually a cool dude again. So we need to thank Kevin Hart, because he was kind of like on my I feel kind of sketchy on him list. But I feel for him for losing his dad. So big up to the Thicke family. Exactly. So, you know, I was thinking, going back, as I said way back, I was thinking about, we were talking about, like, the honeymoon effect. And we're getting to relationships and what we'll do to kind of, like, you know, in the beginning, we're kind of, like, all smooth, like, you know, we'll be forgiving of stuff, and, you know, until a person really starts messed up, and then, well, not even messed up, it could be that they're just irritating. What was cute in the beginning is not so cute in the end. I was thinking right now, in a way, our country is going through a honeymoon stage with Donald Trump. But I don't know what kind of a honeymoon this is. This is a rough honeymoon. He's not even president yet. He's already offending all kinds of people.
I knew that was going to happen. He's not even in the House yet, and he's already offending people. But it's not as bad. Wait until January 20th when he's officially the president.
That's what's scary about it, because I feel like so much has happened since the election. The election was literally a little more than a month ago. But so much of the news has been dominated by Trump. I feel like I feel like 4 years has already passed. I'm already fast forwarding in my head 4 years. So I'm like, oh, he's actually going to be sworn in? I thought we would be over that by now. Yeah, but the latest thing now, the latest thing now is that he has managed to offend not only the FBI, but the CIA as well. Because I guess the CIA came out with a report that says that the Russians may have been involved. They are strong suspicions that the Russians were involved with the hacking that went on with the Democrats breaking into the different Democratic operatives' emails, all of that stuff, and because the Russians wanted to sway the election in Trump's favor. And Trump will not even give it the time of day. Trump was very dismissive of it and basically saying something to the effect of, you know, it's so funny that this is coming out now. How come this didn't come out during the election? How come, you know, that basically that this is a scheme, like a sour grapes type of thing, because Hillary lost the election. While in reality, there were 17, I believe they said 17 different intelligence agencies in the United States that expressed concerns as late as October that said that the Russians seem to be involved in trying to manipulate the election and the election results. So right now, the thought is that it's not even so much that the CIA, the problem is, it's not the idea that the CIA has brought this up, is that Trump won't even listen to what they have to say or even look at the facts or the information they've gathered. And the CIA, along with the FBI, are the folks that are going to be reporting to Trump and giving him information and also doing their part to protect Trump. So is this a little early? Exactly. Do we really want to be offending these people right now and questioning them right now along this level? I don't know. I wouldn't feel comfortable about this. I don't know. These are the same people, the CIA and the FBI, they're the ones that if, let's say, there was some type of intelligence gathered to even to protect, if there was something that was crazy that was about to jump off that, you know, if there was some people that were trying to do harm to President Trump and his family, these are the people that would be able to gather that information. These are also the people that would, because they have so many sources, they may be able to leak information about Trump, his personal life, his family life, all of that. Like, do you really want to offend these people by not even listening to what they have to say? I think that's the problem. So I don't know what kind of honeymoon that is. That must be one of those rough honeymoons where he smacks the bride and shoves cake in her face. That's like, yeah, have you ever seen those clips? Sometimes they'll pop up on Facebook about, it'll be like, bad groom being mean to his bride. Usually it's in, like, the Middle East or Latin America. Like, I saw this one. They were somewhere because a lot of the women were wearing veils. And basically, the bride was still wearing her white wedding dress. And he basically smacked the crap out of her. Like, at the wedding, like, not, I guess, I don't know if she spoke out of turn or something, but he slapped her like a pimp would slap a woman who didn't generate enough income on the strip type of thing. And I guess it got so bad that I guess, you could Google it. It was something about groom smacking bride, something like that. It's bad. And, to the point that I think there's a grandmother or something comes up and smacks him on the head. So I was like, ugh, that's your wedding night. Y'all still at the reception? Y'all still at the reception? He's acting crazy? Mm-mm. I was like, mm-mm. Run, girl, run. That's how I feel feel America should do right now. Run! But we're in this marriage now. There's no going back. But have you seen, there's another video. I don't know why, this one sticks in my head, too. I think this one, they're at a wedding in Mexico. I think it's Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely like Latin America. And you know how they have the tradition where it's like, it's all cute. Like the groom will feed the bride the cake and the bride feeds the groom the cake. I guess they were trying to do it at the same time. And he didn't like the way she was feeding him. So he shoved the cake in her face and then picked up some more cake and threw it in her face, like in her hair. It was not good. Like, ugh, awkward. Yes. Yes.
She would. Yes. You ready to murder somebody?
Yes, like, you know, it's one thing if it's like, hey, we both are playful people. Like, I mean, if you're both established that you are really super playful, even though I'd be really mad that I spent that much money on hair and makeup and this beautiful dress, and now you ruin it by putting frosting and all that crap on it. Once you start throwing stuff at a person and smacking them and stuff, like, that can't be good. I don't know what kind of wedding tradition that is. That's not good. That's not good at all.
No.
Yeah.
That probably ruined her whole wedding. Just that moment right there.
Exactly. And then, you know, with a lot of these societies, you know, you got to go on to the wedding night, and, you know, what is the tone in that bedroom after all of that? That can't be pretty. That's the type of thing where you haven't even gone to the honeymoon. This is your wedding night. It's a reception. People got cameras out, and they're catching this on camera. That's what I want to see. What happens the day after? Did the groom survive that wedding night? Because I'll be darned if this is supposed to be my special day. And you get yourself hyped up, especially in these countries where, like, there's certain countries in, like, the Middle East and Latin America where your wedding for the woman, this is, like, the biggest thing in life. Like, after your sweet 16 or your quinceañera, like, your sweet 15, this is, like, your time to shine. Like, everything else goes downhill for you because you're going to be married. You expect to keep the house clean. You expect to have babies and be there for your husband and your babies, and that is it. So this is your last time to really shine. So if this is my last time to shine, you're not going to treat me like nonsense. We gotta find out. Exactly. If I say and you know, a lot of these women, like, when it comes to the wedding dress, sometimes, like, their family will put all this money together to make sure there's a great wedding and the dress is perfect, the hair is perfect, all of that. And then you're gonna
especially if it's our first wedding, you know, everything has to be perfect. You know,
exactly.
And you want this to be a memory you will never forget. It is your first wedding. You want to have the perfect everything. Everything's got to be perfect. And something you got to go in and mess it up.
Yes.
I would be over it all. I would be over it.
Exactly. Exactly, because then I want to know what kind of conversation, or is there even conversation during that wedding night, or is he just be like, oh, no, I'm just going to be a beast the entire time, you know? Like, or that's when, I'm sorry, that's what, as you know, we're going to have some, somebody might not survive that wedding night. We'll just put it that way. Two people go to sleep, one person wakes up. I'm not going to, if that's setting the tone for the rest of your life, and you know that's what you got going on, I was like, mm-mm, that's when, that's when there's some murder. There might have to be some, not on my night. This is a mess. Yeah. Or, you know, there's always going to be some girl out there like, oh, it's because he's nervous. He just doesn't like being in front of the camera like that. So he just,
this is when you start making excuses for your dude, and everybody gives you the side eye because they know that you're about to go into an abusive relationship. You enabling too much.
I was feeding him too hard with that cake. That cake was too much frosting, and you know, got all over his mustache, and you know, I gotta practice more. If I had more practice feeding him cake, you know, but this is my first time really, you know, this is more of an arranged marriage, so. Next time, I'll feed him better, you know.
That'd be a mess. That is a mess.
Yeah.
So, no. I mean, that's when, like, there is, I wouldn't even know what to call that. That you can't call that honeymoon effect. That would be more like pre-honeymoon, post-wedding. You can't even say post-wedding. Wedding reception downhill to honeymoon effect. That's what that is, or something. That's what we have going on right now. I feel like with Trump and him. You know what? Another thing. Did you see the big event? Well, I got two sides on this one. Okay, first of all, I hate it that I feel like I'm becoming one of those people that my world is starting to revolve around Trump's nonsense, just like any relationship. If we're thinking about Trump being like a boyfriend, that we're going into the honeymoon effect. Okay, Trump tends to have serious stuff going on, but in order to distract the media or distract the American people, he'll do some other stuff, or he'll tweet some other stuff. It's kind of like with us, it's like, ooh, he tweeted about something. And so we all start following that. Meanwhile, he's making deals with all these billionaires and millionaires who are like people that may not have the most experience are being appointed to his cabinet. So the latest thing is today, I think that he has a couple of appointments, like people that don't believe in climate change are going to be the head of the energy department. People that don't have any experience in housing or urban development, like Ben Carson, is going to be the head of that. People who have no experience in education is going to be the head of that, and on and on and on. So the thing that's distracted is today, coming out of Trump Tower today, was Donald Trump and Kanye West. Did you see that? Kanye West looked like he doesn't even know what is going on. First of all, I was like, wait a minute, Kanye West just got out of the mental hospital, like the facility, like a week or so ago. Like, what is he doing? It's just to prove that something is really not right. Because if you look at Kanye, maybe it's because he doesn't have Kim next to him, because Kanye did not look as good as Kanye next to Kim Kardashian. Maybe it's the lighting. They got to work on that. I was like, Kanye looked like a lost soul next to Donald Trump. And they asked all these reporters, of course, were in the lobby.
He's not blinding hair. What is up with that? He's got blonde hair.
That is a mess. I don't even understand what is happening. I don't understand what's happening. And first of all, what is Kanye and Donald Trump talking about? They asked them, well, what did y'all talk about? Oh, no, we talked like we're just friends. We're just talking friendly talk. And Kanye didn't say anything. And I was like, I don't even understand what is happening. So now people are saying that Kanye is is betraying people because he was with Donald Trump. I mean, we don't necessarily know that. For all we know, Donald Trump might be appointed con with Ye West, Secretary of Nuclear Energy. The way his cabinet is going. Who knows? Who knows what's happening with that? But I was like, this is a huge distraction. I need to know. I feel like I'm a sucker now. I need to know what happened. What happened with Donald Trump and Kanye? What is the deal with that nonsense?
What's going on with that?
See, that's a distraction. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody that you can never lock them in on anything, like any serious points or any uncomfortable points, because then they just try to distract you with stuff? Be like,
yeah, make jokes or just laugh, and it would always be like they would make a joke about it, and that irritated the hell out of me. Like, can you take one thing serious?
Well, see, that's cute in the beginning, though, because you're like, oh, you know, they're so whimsical.
And you're laughing and carrying on with them, but after a while, it is just irritating. Then you want to choke the shit out of them, because now it's not cute anymore. You're not being serious, man.
It's like you can't lock them down. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Like, if you conveniently change the subject, you know who also has that? This was the case. Like, remember Kobe Bryant from the Lakers, who, you know, formerly of the Lakers, and there was that whole scandal about, like, did he or did he not rape the woman in Colorado, and there was this whole thing about, like, his cheating and stuff, and his wife was going to divorce him, and then he whips out something like a $2 million ring. Like, so I'm like, is that like a good distraction, or that's just a makeup, like, this is makeup jewelry? or is it you could read that as like, hey, baby, I want this to be a reminder that I'll never do this to you again, or look at the shiny thing. Look at the shiny thing. Nothing happened. Keep looking at the shiny object. So I guess, would you rather have somebody who cannot take things seriously and makes jokes to the point that you want to strangle them, or would you rather have somebody who may do some serious dirt, but they're going to distract you with shiny things, like a Kobe Bryant?
Oh, that's hard.
See, this is the thing. I have down here in South Florida. Okay, look, I grew up in Ohio, so I feel like that's where regular people live, like regular people, all right? Like flyover states, just regular people. And then I lived in New York, and that was definitely very different. There's a certain level of shishi-foo-foo and a certain level of hardness that's there. But then when you come down here to South Florida, to Miami, like, it's a weird mix, because you have a lot of women that it's obvious that they use their youth and their beauty and their bodies in order to get ahead, you know. So you see a lot of, you know, younger women who may or may not gotten some things nipped and tucked and enhanced, and they are with older men who are more established and have money, who, you know, because they're older, they may or may not be so fit, but the appeal is, I can see what he sees in her. He sees in her is like, okay, you know, obviously she's young and, you know, she makes him feel like he's on top of the world and she's got this banging body and all of that. But then what she sees in him, it's like, okay, he's got money and she doesn't have to work. You know, she doesn't have to worry about cranking out any kids really, really soon because he might already have one or two sets of kids, you know. Even though the third one might be the charm, you know. But the thing is, I wonder how long that honeymoon phase lasts. Like, you know, can you see yourself in a situation where, you know, you're marrying somebody for money? If you had a choice of being with a dude that he might be closer in age to you, but he's got a good personality and a good heart, but he's not really where he needs to be in life. Maybe he doesn't have it together, versus being with a guy that maybe he's a bit older and maybe not as fit and attractive, but he can give you all the creature comforts that you want. Like, you don't ever have to worry about working. You don't have to worry about lifting a finger. You never have to clean anything again. You can go on these fabulous vacations around the world. Like, what would be your choice?
I would probably want somebody that is closer in age to me. You know, the older man thing. See, when I see older men messing with younger women, I think they only get with younger women because they want to control them. They want to control everything. So especially when it's older women with younger men, they want to control because they know they can't control somebody their age. It's going to be a battle.
Uh-huh.
But if they get somebody a lot younger, they can control them. Because usually if it's a younger female, she's only after his money. So he knows that he can control her. As long as he keeps giving her money and giving her what she wants, she'll stay right where she at. And he's got that power and he's got control over her. So, I can't do that.
So, like, okay, but what? Let's say that his control over you is not, like, yeah, he is maybe controlling as in certain things, but at the same time, you know that there's an excellent chance that if he's 20, 25, 30 years older than you, he spots you and he's like, oh, I want to get to know you, et cetera, et cetera. But if he was not a rapper, he probably would be maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, he might be a 4. Maybe a 3 or 4, okay? But because he's got all this talent and he's got money now, he's definitely, you know, he has more appeal. Because I see a lot of, how shall I say, there are a couple of Instagram type of quote-unquote models who have managed to snag themselves somebody who is successful and successful in the music business. But if it was not for his fame and success, I can't see them together. So where would your choice be on that? And so this is someone who's younger now. It's gonna be closer to the age now.
But I would still go with the simple guy, because everybody is a work in progress. You know, you can't expect one person to have everything unless they're rich. And even then, when they're rich, they still got issues. Just because they got money don't mean they ain't got issues. they can just buy a lot of stuff. That's about it. But it doesn't mean they got issues. They might have 10 baby mamas and all types of shit going on with them. Could be on house arrest. I don't know.
They're also rough, but they spotted you at the mall.
They got easier. I just need somebody simple. Everybody's a work in progress. You can help motivate a man to do better. Then he can get where he needs to be. You helping him. That's easy.
Because I'm thinking a work in progress. Sometimes a work in progress could be like a car, you know. Sometimes it's like, oh, so this car only needs an oil change. And then you find out on some situations, oh, this oil change turned into I need an entire new engine and I need an alignment, I need the interior gunning, I need the whole thing. That's too much. That's like way, way, way too much. I don't know. I mean, I think, okay, you know, granted, in this hypothetical situation, I think that if I wasn't in my own current situation or anything like that, and I had that choice, I think I would have to think long and hard about it, because if I didn't have any strings attached and I had that choice, I don't know. I mean, I would like to say that I would go do the right thing and be with the person that has a good heart. But I do see the appeal of being with someone who has some more means and excitement, you know? But I think you just have to know where you stand on that. Like, let's say what if in this hypothetical situation that rapper is like, look, I'm only in town, like, I'm only, you know, if you had a crystal ball, if it was a crystal ball and it basically told you that, look, this rapper is basically in town. He's going to be in the DMV probably for the next 4 months because he's working on an album with some producer. So basically, you know that after he's done with his album, he's going to be just setting around the world and stuff. So he probably is not going to be back in the area. So the relationship probably will end. But he is known for giving, like, expensive gifts. So you know at least by the time this is over, by the time your relationship is over, like, you know, some dudes, they might give teddy bears. Some dudes, give chocolates. This dude will probably end up giving you a nice piece of jewelry that might be worth $20,000. Or, like, enough jewelry that it will add up to $20,000. What would you do then? If it's only going to be, like, 3 or 4 months. It's more likely 3 or 4 months.
Okay, then me and the rapper, we would be having sex for 3 or 4 months.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna get whatever I can out of 3 or 4 months.
Yes, man, 3 and 4 months, Jimmy. 3 and 4 and 6 months. But he's not bad. I mean, he's very talented. But if he was put it like this, right? If he was working at, Best Buy, you would not be giving him no mind. He would not be like, what's his face, on Insecure. You are not going to be picking him up because he probably in real life would look kind of like a fraud.
Right. At that point, yeah. I will get whatever I can make me a card, a couple pair, 20,000 pair of shoes, jewelry, and you know, after he leaves, kiss him goodbye, get rid of my phone, delete the number, change everything so you can't contact me no more.
The burning all evidence. Okay, so let's say all of that, but in this magic crystal ball scenario, he might have one teeny tiny semi crazy baby mama. Just one. But nothing, like, she would never confront you in person or anything like that. But she would be the type of person that would be like trolling all over his Instagram page, not your page, but it would be on his social media that she would be trying to cause drama.
Oh, well, you know, as long as I'm getting what I need, then that's all I'm
talking about. And this is exactly why he got one teeny tiny crazy baby mama, because of that. Exactly. Okay, so let's say he has one teeny tiny crazy baby mama who only trolls him on his social media, but then leaks out one picture of the both of y'all. Just one picture, like, leaks out. That would be, like, the price you pay of this whole thing.
I would be famous. She would make me, I would be getting money. You know how many people, how many magazines be calling me up, trying to figure out who that girl is? I would be in, like, on ETV, BET. They were all popular. Hill Show. Oh, my gosh. My name would be everywhere. No more working for me.
See, you would be very business-minded about that. And I think that... See, that's an investment.
You have to pay me to shut up, literally, because I would be everywhere.
So then you would get a settlement.
I would say all the prices to you.
Yeah, we got a sexy thing.
Oh, my God.
It'll be all... Okay, so what is this? Okay, let's say that you was approached by the management of somebody who is a rising celebrity. Let's just play, since we playing this hypothetical game. Okay, but it would just be for show. They would pay you a certain amount just for show because he might have some secrets to hide. Like, it might be that he has a really macho persona, but really secretly he's living a double life. Like, he's, like, you know, he might be gay or something, but he cannot come out. Like, even now, like, he cannot be Frank Ocean because his whole persona is more like kind of like a mix of like DMX and, you know, whoever, like something who's supposed to be really hardcore and really rough, but they would say, okay, we will pay you to hang out with this dude 4 months that he's in town just because we need to keep establishing that he is, you know, living up to this persona. We'll give you a stipend every week just to hang out with this dude. But you got to let yourself be photographed in such a way that could be interpreted that something more is happening. Oh, and by the way, this dude, on a scale of 1 to 10, this dude is probably a 2. But because he is a 2, it would be like he's like a cross between, like, it would be a cross between a billy goat and a pit bull. And when I mean pit bull, I mean the dog, not the artist. So that's what he looks like in the face. you'll be able to go to really nice restaurants. You don't have to take that. You go to nice restaurants, nice places. You'll be able to go, like, you know, on a couple of, like, little yacht trips around the harbor. We'll get you some
outfits. I'm wanting my money at least. That's like a full-time job. I'm a, like, you know, people in work. You can't give me a grand or two. The scale of 1 to 10, he's a 2, and I gotta take pictures and act like I'm in love with him.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no. His bigger payment. A better payment first.
What if it was like, okay, it'll be $500 a week, but you get to keep all the outfits. And they'll be nice outfits. Like, they'll be Louboutins, they'll be Louboutins and Michael Kors, and it'll be,
more money. That's boy. I don't want more money a week this week. I'm going to sit next to some pit bull and pictures. Most people are going to be everywhere. A pit bull beside me. Which is that $500 a week. That is like a steady teaching job. Get the hell out of here.
think that's where, like, maybe being a fan is going too far. Right? Because now
I'm looking some man's ass. That is out. You can give me $1 million and I will not lick his ass.
I just know that. I'm going to have to find it now. I don't even know if they might have taken it down, because I'm sure that his people might have tried to come after her. But let's see. Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
They probably took it down now.
Yeah, because this one, police investigation launched. Let me see if I can find it. I don't know if I can find it. There's too much crap on this website. Oh, okay. A stripper, well, this was from 2014. I don't even know if this is the same one. plus, this is on TMZ. So you got to take it with a grain of salt anyway. But this is from August 6, 2014, where a stripper claims Drake's people threatened her after the singer had sex with her, and now there's an official police investigation. Houston, I guess, Johnny, her name is Johnny Blaze. She told cops she and Drake had sex one time, and he believed she was going to talk publicly about it. And she said that's when Drake began, quote, angrily texting her. She says several people from Drake's camp then came to her house, banged on her door, threatened her life. She went to the cops, but she's not sure if she wants to follow through and press charges. But see, you don't know if this is true or not. I'm still trying to find that letter. I don't even know if it's coming from her or not. But, yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. But anyway, long story short, $1,000. $1,000 per week. You get to keep the clothes. It'll be 4 weeks, and for 4 months, but you have to have a story leak out that you went down on him and went all the way down to the back end, because his handlers are that committed. In this hypothetical situation, if there was a rapper that, let's say he had a persona that he was ultra macho, but he was really, like, gay, and he did not feel, or his people felt, like it would be detrimental to his career to come out of the closet. So if you would be willing to take $1,000 a week, get to go to all these nice places, get to keep the clothes, but you have to let a story leak out that they plant that says that you went down on him, and it got kind of intense, a lot that similar to this Drake story, but it was like, yeah, it would be a leaked story like that. $4,000 a week.
No, probably not.
So glass elevator, yes, but not that. There's limits. Okay, if it was $2,000 a week, only glass elevator, not the going down stuff. It was just a story that allegedly you guys hooked up or possibly had sex in a glass elevator, but none of the going down stuff, none of the eating ass or nothing like that.
Um, Probably. Oh shit.
I would probably lean more toward that too, because if the whole idea is that if we were dating and supposedly if we're dating for several months, it can't be like the story leaks out on day one. Like, no, we can't do that. Because if it's the story leaks out on day one, on first date, they have sex in the glass elevator, then I would imagine that the stories only can get wilder and wilder and wilder after that. You can't go from glass elevator to having normal people sex. But I would say, like, if the story was that we were dating and we were ending we were going into the four-month period, and I was getting paid $2,000 a week, but I felt like I was helping him out with his career, then I would probably be more willing to do it. I would say, I'll take your stipend and these clothes and the nice places to go. I probably would do it. I don't know. I probably have to think about it. If it was just like I was being like a female escort, as in strictly escorting him to places, then I'll probably do that. I can see doing that. But I don't know. I think I've been watching too much Empire with my mom. Like, I haven't really watched Empire in the first season. That's the problem. So my mom is a fan of Empire, but my mom is getting a little older. God bless her. But so my mom, she is more dedicated to Empire than I am. So, but the thing is, she tends to get tired and fall asleep very easily. So if you ask her what happened on Empire, there's a good chance she's going to watch the first 5 minutes, she's going to catch the last 5 minutes, and she's going to be in and out in the middle. So you kind of start, it might not be the right storyline. So, like, I think that's where I got this from. So, this is a side effect of too much Empire. All right. So, I think this has been a good show. I think so about the whole honeymoon effect thing. So, I think moving forward, what would you say a person would have to do in order to? Do you think the honeymoon effect is a good thing? And if so, do you think people should, is it something that people should sustain or try to keep up with, try to keep going in their relationship?
I mean, the honeymoon phase, it is a good thing. As long as you remain the same person throughout the relationship, then your relationship should make it, but I think they call it the honeymoon stage because a lot of people, they tend to change. Like, after a couple months, people change. So everything's good. Everybody is on their best behavior. And then after a few months, you know, people change and you see their true colors. So I think that's where the honeymoon stage came along, because everything's good in the first, you know, few months of the relationship, because, you know, everybody's on their best behavior, and then people start to change. If you remain the same person, then you'll always be in that honeymoon stage. You mean, you may have some arguments. Everybody argues and fights sometimes. That's just, you know, that's just life. You're a human being. We have emotions. That's going to happen. But as long as you stay the same, as the same person, you know, your relationship will work out. As when people change and they just completely really show their true colors, and that's where it fails. That's where relationships fail.
Mm-hmm.
So
see that. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap up this episode. This is Real Talk Radio. This has been Rep Thompson joined in with my co-host with the most, Nizzy Nay. On behalf of Tay Real, Nizzy Nay, and myself, we will check you out next time. So, peace.
You've been listening to It's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Nizzy Nay. Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Tweet us at It's Real Radio MP.